Okay, this evening's shiur is dedicated Le'ilui Nishmas, Dr. Lederach's grandfather, Yisrael Tzvi ben Moshe Chaim, whose yahrzeit is this evening. May the neshama have an aliyah. Tonight's topic is performing of bris milah under anesthetic, under anesthesia, which is relevant both for regular milah of Yisrael and milah of a ger, and there are potentially different considerations as to why it's not the same shaila necessarily for both. So the connection to Parshas Lech Lecha, beyond the obvious fact that Parshas Lech Lecha has mitzvahs mila, is a Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Mem Zayin Os Tes, and the question is whether this comment of the Medrash Rabbah is of halachic significance, or is it simply a gadik without halachic import. The Medrash here quotes, Nimal Avram, Amr of Abba Bar Kahana, Kirgish the Nitztaer, Kadesha Yichbo Lava Kadesh Baruch Huschara. That Avram Avinu had pain from the Bris Mila. He wasn't a young man. It was painful. And that was done intentionally so that he should receive more scar from the mitzvah. Amr of Levi, Mal Avram Inksiv, Elanimol. It doesn't say that he did Mila actively. It says he was passively Gemalt. That there was no mila done. Avram Avinu looked, and he saw that he was already nimol. Amar Brachia Bahi Isa, Akila Ba'aba Bar Kahana Levi Levi. So he said at that time, Amar Le Shakarna Kazavnat. You're a liar. You're an imposter. That can't be pshat. Ali Hirgish and Asar Kadesh Yichba Kosh Baruch Hussar. In fact, we said originally that Avram Avinu experienced Tsar. And that tsar was in order to give him more schar. Sridei Eish, Chelik Gimel, Simin Sadi Vav in the old edition, and Chelik Beis, Simin Samach Beis in the new edition, discusses this question as to whether Mila can be performed under anesthesia. He quotes, Shuvas Imre Yosher, Remeir Arik, Simin Kuf Mem, Shaila was, a ger who's coming to be Megayir, not a baby, are you allowed to apply a local anesthetic in order to minimize the pain of the cut? Meir Arik Asterd, why? So he says, Chazal, as he demonstrates, clearly knew that there were such things as anesthetics. Chazal had a notion of a sam, a potion, or a cream that could relieve pain. And nevertheless, we never find any evidence of using such a sam for bris mila. Says Meir Arik, you see from this medrash that mila is supposed to be performed in a way that there is tsar, and therefore minhag Yisrael always was to perform mila straight and not use any sam, not use any anesthetic. He says, what about a local anesthesia? So says the Sfidei Eish, can't necessarily prove anything from Avram Avinu. Maybe he wanted to get extra schar, lufum tsar agra, but it doesn't mean that there's a chiyuv to cause tsar to a baby. But nevertheless, he thinks full anesthesia would be ill-advised and inappropriate. So the conclusion through the age is to be matter a local anesthetic, not full anesthesia. And he gives credence to this raya of the Imre Yosher, even though he says it's not necessarily a real strong raya. Maybe Avram Avinu just wanted the schar himself. It doesn't mean there's a chiyuv tapsar. Nevertheless, minhag Yisrael always was not to use anesthesia, but a local anesthetic would be okay. Chuvas Eretzvi, the Kasha Klover, as Dr. Lederach pointed out offline, his grandfather, whose yahrzeit is tonight, learned in Chachmei Lublin. The Kasha Klover was a Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva's Chachmei Lublin after the passing of Meir Shapiro. So he discusses this as well in Eretzvi, Chelek Aleph, Simin Unvav. We quote the same Irma Yosher, Meir Arik, derived from the Medrash Rabbah, and the fact that we never found any evidence of using any form of anesthesia for bris mila. says the Kashruk lover, we want to perform Bris Milah in the optimal fashion. Especially since Milah is the first mitzvah that a baby does. So it's better to do it in a mitzvah in a muvchar fashion. And he quotes a comment of the Chidush Eiran, Rosh Hashanah Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara there discusses or raises a question, where did B'nai Yisrael get the material for the Korban Omer for when they entered Eretz Yisrael? They entered Eretz Yisrael right the day before they're supposed to be Makar the Korban Omer on Tezayin Nisan, or 2 days before. So where do they get produce or grain that was grown in Eretz Yisrael under Jewish ownership on such short notice? So the Gemara says, well, maybe it was bought from a guy, different possibilities. The Gemara, actually, this is the Sefer Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara there, that's the Gemara's expression of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a land where the fruits ripen quickly. But as the Chidush Eiran there, why didn't the Gemara entertain that maybe they brought the grain for the Korban Omer from Eiver HaYarden? After all, Eiver HaYarden produce is kasher for Korban Omer. Says the Chidush Eiran, it's kasher b'di'evet, the chachila is supposed to be from Eretz Yisrael, and lo yitachin, that the first time they did a mitzvah, they would do it in a b'di'evet fashion. Like the Beis HaLevi's comment by the Pach HaShem and Erev Chanukah, do a mitzvah in the optimal fashion when you do the Chanukas HaMenorah. But be that as it may, so Meir Arik said, maybe you could entertain a distinction that for a baby, that's his first milah, so you can't be makel to use anesthesia. You want to do it in the most optimal fashion. For someone else who's older, maybe there's more of a grounds to be makel. The context of the tshuva here in the Eretz Tzvi is a mesu achav machmas mila, someone whose brothers were born and they died from mila. There's some hemophilia or something of that sort. And somehow the medical advice is that if you were to perform Mila on this kid with an anesthesia, with an anesthetic, that would minimize or eliminate the potential fatal consequence. So in that case, he says, there's definitely no objective halacha you can't use anesthesia. In that case, it would be potentially permissible as long as the doctor signs off on it and advises it. Chumat Sitz Eliezer, Chela Kaf, Simon Ayin Gimel also quotes these marmakamos. And he has another marmakam to explain why there may be value in the tsar of a baby experiencing bismila. He quotes that Rebellion Goodmacher quotes on the Ola Sefraim. Ola Sefraim is a sefer written by the Kli Yakar. And he quotes there, apropos to the Gemara of Blazer de Mila, Yechavin kol adam al tsarosav be'es Bechi Hanimal Miyisurei Amila, that a person should daven for, have kavana for tsaros at the time that the baby cries at the Mila. Shekolze ole blimonea mikol klipa sheyichlo gam tfilaso. The cry of a baby at the time of a Mila goes up to Shemayim in such a way that it's kolel all the other tfilos that are that people are davening at that moment. It says it's Sitzeliezer. Apparently, you see from there the fact that there is such value to the bechi of the baby, Bishas Mila, that there is value to those Yisurim, to that Tsar, and there's a Toelis in the fact that the baby has Tsar associated with the Mila. If that's the case, that's another Raya to support this idea in the Medrash that Tsar is optimal and therefore anesthesia should not be used. So this is all relevant equally, or at least potentially equally, both to a regular Mila of Israel and to a Mila of a Ger, the Torah's Geiris. For Sturmbach, Shuvas van Hagos, Chelek Beis, Simen Tav Kuf Yud, Chelek Beis, Simen Tav Kuf Yud, suggests that there may be another consideration why Tsar is more important for a Ger undergoing Bris Mila than for a Yisrael. He quotes the Gemara in Yevamos in the Gerus Sugyas on Daf Mem Zayin. The Gemara says that we do Mila before Tefillah. It's Machlokas Rishonim, whether the order is Likuva. But the Gemara there says Malin, that you do mila before tefila lichachila, the parish nifrosh, so that if he decides to abandon it, he'll abandon it. So some of the Rishonim explain the Ramban, that means that mila involves a high level of commitment because of the associated tsar, and we want to make sure that the ger is really committed. So if he's not really committed, the mila may be a test and will convince him to abandon his plan and not go through with the gerus. So mila comes first. Kedei sheyifrosh, that if he wants to, if he has second thoughts, he'll do that before completing the gerus process. I mean, he'll back out at that time, and that's the point of mila. So maybe there's more value in having tsar for mila, because that's part of the game plan to make sure that the ger is sufficiently committed to the process. He acknowledges that that's clearly not the full picture, because in a situation where a ger is already nimol and you can't do a mila, so the requirement is only to do a toughest dam. Toughest dam is a prick, doesn't involve any significant sar. And yet that's sufficient for the gerus process. So obviously, tsar is not an absolute requirement in order to undergo gerus. But Rosh Hashanah says maybe on some level, there may be a value to that tsar in the gerus context in a way that doesn't apply to regular milas Yisrael. Rav Avadia is not so impressed by all these later achronim preceding him, who gave credence to this medrash lahalacha. He writes, Yeridei Chelekei Simin Kaf Beis V'chilas Kol Tarasso Ein Dvar Mechuvarim Klal Sheheich Hamatza Sheyesh Chiyuv L'Sar Mila. Going back to Meir Arik and those who followed his path, where do you find there's a Chiyuv of Tsar for Mila? V'im Arishonim Savi V'Kiblu Mishim Chavivis HaMitzvah K'mo She'asa Avram Avinu. So maybe that was the tzidkus of Avraham Avinu, that he wanted to experience tsar. But is that mechayiv everyone else? Does that make it a din? If someone wants to get out of the tsar, why shouldn't we let him? If you want to be machmir, then the burden of proof is on you, the machmir. The MSR Darko, Shayna Tsar Ma'aki Bimila. As long as the meal is done properly, how do you know, where do you see that there's a requirement of tsar? He quotes from a sefer of the Chuvas Marche Lev, who was asked about a five-year-old boy who wasn't physically able to have meal beforehand, and now they want to use a local anesthetic, and he's matir. So Rav Avadia thinks that's the correct that there's no such requirement of tsar for mila. Until now, up to now, we've been discussing the tsar element and whether there's an objective value of tsar as part of bris mila, both for milas Yisrael and for milas gerim. There is another layer to this question that the later poskim raised, and that is, forget about tsar, but is there a requirement of kavana for the mitzvah? And is the kavana lacking if a person is going to be under anesthesia? Here, as far as when it comes to the tsar issue, that's relevant both to a local anesthetic and full anesthesia. Here, the issue is one, if one were to undergo full anesthesia and not be conscious during the time of the mila, is that a problem of mitzvah srichas kavana? Do we need his active consciousness in order for the mila to be effective? So say for bris, Piratinsky has a maracha about this topic of mitzvah srichos kavana. This could be expressed either in terms of mitzvah srichos kavana or in terms of if the moel is acting as the shaliach of the nimol, does the nimol need to be conscious in order for the shlichos to be valid? So Rav Avadia deals with the second angle over there of shlichus in the same tshuva. He points out that the Gemara in Gittin has the following, and daf Ami Beis, Amar Kisvageli Ishti V'Achzer Kordaikus. So a person instructs a get to be rid on his behalf, and then he is overtaken by some mental health disease, so he's not of sound mind, or some kind of he's in a state where his das is compromised. And then he says, oh, I changed my mind, don't write the get. So we don't listen to his second statement because that's, so to speak, under the influence. So where the person instructed a get to be written when he was in a of sound mind, and then he's no longer in the same state, you can still write and give over the get. Yochanan says he can only give over the get once he returns to his original state of mind. My time in the Rish Lakish. So why does Rish Lakish say there's no impediment to delivering the get right away? So we don't take into consideration what happened later. And Rabbi Yochanan says no. Means he doesn't have to repeat the original minoy, but you still can't give over the get right away. So what's the machlokas based on Esa Gemara? Rish Lakish midami leila yashen. Rabbi Yochanan midami leila shelta. The question is, this person, this state of Achsur Kordaikus, so is that condition analogous to someone who's sleeping? Or is that condition analogous to someone who is a halachically deranged individual who's not a bardas? So Rabbi Yochanan says he's like a sleeping person. A sleeping person isn't mechusar maisa. He happens to be sleeping. He's not conscious, but there's nothing preventing him from waking up in a snap. And therefore, a sleeping person is a bardas. So lahalacha, if a husband appoints a shaliach to deliver a get in his behalf to his wife, we don't check to make sure that the baal's not napping at the time that the get is delivered. As long as he appointed the shaliach, even if the baal is taking a nap or sleeping at the time of the delivery, that doesn't affect the shlichus. As opposed to a shota, where a shota is considered, it's not biyado, it's not in his hands to relieve his state, meaning he can't easily just snap his fingers and stop being a shota. So there, that would be an impediment for the get to be delivered if he's in that case of shtus. So Ravadi points out.
Can a tinok make a shliach?
Say that again?
Can a tinok make a shliach?
Ah, he's that's a very good question. Very good point, Dr. Leder. That's what some raise in this context, that obviously there can't be shlichus for a katan. This whole discussion of shlichus, this angle may only be relevant to a gadol. That is correct.
I mean, you could say, is the act of mila, is it a chefsa or a gavra? For the father, it seems like it's a chefsa that I have this child that needs to be mild. I will do the mila, but once the child is older, it becomes a chiyav on himself to be mild himself. At that point, it becomes a gavra. You have a mitzvah that's a chefsa and a gavra.
So the way the poskim say it, I think there's a Beis Halevi like this and others, that there are two elements of Mila. There's the mitzvah to perform Mila and the status of being a Nimol. Both of those may exist independently of each other, but both of them in a standard situation apply. So there's an element of someone having to do the Mila, and then there's the element of the person ending up being a Nimol. But that's what, in the context of Geiris, I saw Rabbi Yerachmiel Fried in Dallas just published a beautiful Sefer on Geiris. So he raises this precise point in the context of Geiris, that don't you see the fact that you could do a Geiris on a Katan in general, and there's a notion of Geiris Katan, and obviously no one serving as a shliach of the Katan, so you see that this isn't a critical ingredient in terms of Geiris, and therefore this whole piece of shlichus or kavana for Mila shouldn't be relevant for Mila's Geirus. He quotes something similar to that in the name of Reb Shlomo Zalman. But at least in the context of a Gadol, there may be what to discuss, or at least in the context of a regular Yisrael. So that's what Rav Avadia points out from this Gemara in Gittin, that Misha Asakradikos is like a person who's sleeping. A person who's sleeping, you could deliver a get on his behalf. So even according to the Bali Tosus, who hold Tosus Gittin Kav Beis, that there is a requirement of shlichus when it comes to a, that even by regular get, there's an element of shlichus. The sofer is acting as the shliach of the Baal. We never, we don't require that the husband be awake through every part of the process until a get is delivered. So you don't apparently need that level of das in order to have a shliach function on your behalf. So here too, if you told the mole to be malu, and then you take a nap essentially. So as long as you gave your tzivoy and he's doing it on your behalf, so the shlichus is already in place. It doesn't make a difference whether that you're sleeping. That's the point Rabbi Fried makes along those lines in his sefer. But that's what Rav Avadya says over here. You see from the analogy to Yashen that just like a person is sleeping, you give a get on his behalf. So too, if a person is under anesthesia, even if it's full anesthesia, you can just as well do a mila for him. So that's why Rav Avadya is not such a fan of the machmirim. And that's his conclusion, that definitely a local anesthesia where you don't have this issue of das at all should be okay. And he's not such a fan of the tsar consideration either. So he concludes that Ladina, for a gadol who never had a mila before, so there's no problem in using a sam hardama. And for a ger as well, he doesn't see any problem in doing so, and he says that's what he did in the Bezin Yerushalayim himself in 1963, he writes. In the Sefer Zikar and Pachad Yitzchak for Refutner, they printed a tshuva from Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan on page Tav Kuf Nun Dalid. Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan writes in a very brief sentence that he doesn't see any isser in using anesthesia for Ris Mila. Rav Vosner, Shevet HaLevi, Chela K, Simen Kuf Mem Zayin, Os Beis, Chela K, Simen Kuf Mem Zayin, Os Beis, writes, in principle, he says, you're supposed to have kavana. And if you're sleeping, you're not really mechaving. Even though you could argue that the instructions he gives before he goes to sleep are considered sufficient. And then he says, any anesthesia has a certain minimal medical risk. And even if it's only minimal risk, so who gives you the license to take that minimal risk? Plus value for the Tzaras Amila, as we saw. But he says, so no one's going to be prepared to allow anesthesia for regular Mila where there are no complicating factors. But if there are complicating factors, someone's older, other medical situations where there are reasons to prefer anesthesia, and he thinks in principle it's mutter. And that's basically the conclusion of our Shtermach as well. And we quoted one Shuv in Chelik Beis earlier, Chelik Aleph Simen Tav Kuf Tzadi. And that's it. The general consensus of Poskim seems to be that for a Gadol, where there will be more significant tsar, we allow for local anesthesia. That is general practice in any Mila performed in a hospital setting. For a gadol, to use a local anesthetic. And generally, we shy away from full anesthesia, even though, as he pointed out, there may be significant grounds to be matched where there's a need. And where there is indeed a need, then we would presumably allow for it. But it seems like the standard common practice is to allow for a local anesthesia for a gadol in most situations. Okay. Have a great Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Why did we do this online?